I am Plante on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Stuart Legere and the Accidental Mechanics Group are bringing their show Let's Not Beat Each Other to Death to Vancouver's Push Festival on the 21st of January. The Fox Cabaret is the venue for what is described as a provocative and participatory work that pays tribute to queer people around the world who have suffered bigotry and violence. It's memorial as well as a dance party that I'll get Mr. Legere to tell us about. He's based in Halifax, but joined me from Sydney, Australia. His Twitter handle is at Stuart Legere. Tickets and information for the show can be had at pushfestival.ca. He joined me in early January. Please welcome to the Plante Online program in Sydney, Australia, Stuart Legere. Mr. Legere, good morning.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce that right, by the way?
Legere.
Legere, pardon me.
That's all right. As my dad always says, you can call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner.
Stuart Legere. So it is morning in Australia and it's evening here in Vancouver. What are you doing?
It actually just turned, it's about 10 after 12. It just turned
so it's noon.
Noon.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here with a glass of wine.
What are you doing? I'll do the same. What are you doing in Australia, by the way?
I was here with my partner for about a month, 5 weeks actually, to visit my sister who lives in Sydney. So I came down for the holidays, and we were in Sydney, and then we flew across the country to their west coast, to Western Australia, and to visit some friends there. And now I'm back in Sydney for the rest of the week.
But you're based in Halifax, is that right?
I am, yeah, that's where I live.
Did you grow up there?
I did. I grew up in Halifax. I went to Dalhousie University. And, you know, I travel a lot for work, but that's my home base.
So it has been home for you for a while, obviously.
Yeah.
And what was happening in Halifax that I guess became the genesis of this show?
Well, actually, it's funny. I actually started writing the show in Australia 2 years ago when I came down, to visit my sister, before. I left Halifax, after, there was a couple really brutal attacks against two gay men. One man named Raymond Tavel was killed, and then another young man, Scott Jones, thankfully survived and thrived, and he's paralyzed, but he is an amazing musician and activist and choir director, and he lives there. So those things happened in Halifax within the span of a few years, but, you know, reading the news, not just from Halifax, but from all over the world, you know, it's quite clear and easy to see that these aren't isolated incidents. So those things were kind of the spark that started Let's Not Beat Each Other to Death.
The title, as you just said, it's a marvelous sentiment. It makes sense. It's necessary. And so in the course of putting this together, do you have a sense as to why people beat one another up?
I'd like to say that in the few years that we've been working on this show, that I'm closer to an answer, and I think maybe I am, and I think maybe it's an answer that we all know. It's just not a very satisfying one, and I think, you know, it seems to me clearer and clearer that the reason we're violent with each other is because we're human and we're animals, and there's violence in all of us. Now there's lots of roads that lead us to be more susceptible to violence, and there's lots of roads that lead us to be violent. And those are kind of the things that I've been looking at. Not just the fact that that other people are violent, but that we're all violent people. That we all have the capacity for it, and we all have the capacity to help prevent it.
So, do you understand then why all the hate, the violence, the bigotry, why people say resort to that?
Do I understand? I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at these incidents that I talked about in Halifax, and then you look at, you know, the stuff that happens in Vancouver, stuff that happens in New York, stuff that's been happening in Dallas, all over the world, all over Europe and the Middle East. Like, there's lots of different indicators and reasons, and I certainly don't purport to know what they all are. But, you know, I imagine, I don't know, but I imagine that, like most things, fear, insecurity, all of those things that actually lie underneath anger are more likely causes.
So then, when you're thinking of that, do you become more empathetic to say the bully, the misogynist, maybe?
You know, do I become more empathetic? Empathetic, perhaps.
Like, you understand why they resort to that violence, eh?
I understand it in as far as I know that I'm also capable of it, and that I commit lots of acts of violence in my daily life, and that we all do, and that, you know, it's best to, there's a line in the show where I say, you know, it's best to speak to the silence of our foes. So there are lots of different tactics for dealing with things. One of them is obviously to fight back with anger and with force and with rising up, and that is itself, you know, obviously a very necessary tactic in some places with some people. And do I understand why? I don't really know. I think so. I think that it's not as complicated as perhaps we'd like it to be. I think the answer is a lot simpler, and that's maybe what's scary.
I read an interview that you gave about this show, and you talk about the frustration that you've felt about what's gone on in Halifax and everywhere else where people are being harmed. Do you wonder then, because you just said that you have the capacity for hate, for violence as well, do you ever wonder why you're a good person when so many people aren't, say, preoccupied with wanting to be good?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not 100% sure that I am a good person, but...
You're not going out beating other people up. So, I mean, you know, you've got one point, I guess, in that regard.
Sure. But, you know, I was really interested when I was writing the show as well in thinking about, you know, tracing violence back, tracing it back, you know, stepping back from the gunshot or the knife or the fist and going all the way back to where it starts and that, you know, that I really do have the capacity for violence, and that making myself, making people the other, the people who perpetuate acts of violence, making them the other does not really do anything to stop it. And so first looking within myself, and that's also the only action I can actually take, is to look in myself and say, what do I do? How do I contribute? How do I contribute to a culture of violence, even in tiny ways? And what can I do moving forward to do that as little as possible? And instead of, you know, pushing little acts of violence out in the world, how can I push little acts of goodness or little acts of love or whatever? And that's not at all to be, you know, I'm in no way I wouldn't say I'm not an optimist, but I'm in no way kind of a flowery kind of woo-woo kind of, I'm not like dancing around. I'm not a hippie. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I have no illusions that that the world is just like a flowery good place. But you know, I do think that looking within and finding how you contribute, the ripples you put out into the world, I do think that has an effect.
And so, part of the love and goodness that you provide, especially with the audience that goes to, let's not beat each other to death, is this show. I understand there are monologues, but there's a dance party. And so does the audience participate in that?
Yeah, so basically the show kind of has three different parts, and it starts in a very kind of high theatrical way. Like I created a character that is me, but a version of me, that sings songs, that does monologues, that acts as characters. It's kind of this otherworldly, kind of very high theatrical thing. And then I kind of break it down a little bit, and I just talk as me, as I'm talking to you right now. And I've written, you know, what I consider to be kind of a eulogy, or it's a vigil. And I sit and I chat with the audience for a few minutes and kind of try to go inside, like I'm talking about right now, this inside to where the seed of violence begins, in me at least, and kind of try to go really deeply into that and see what that is about. But then at the end... you know, instead of sending everyone out into the street, kind of shaking their heads and, you know, deep inside themselves, I invite people, and they're certainly not, it's certainly not necessary, but I invite people to have a party with me. So we connect with a local DJ, so someone from Vancouver is going to be playing with us at the Fox Cabaret, and we have a dance party, and it's like we sweat, and the lights are crazy, and there's haze, and it's just like a big queer dance party for everybody.
And what's the experience like for the audience? Because I've read some of the notices of where you've done the show elsewhere. People like it, don't they?
Well, some people really like it, and some people, you know, I'm sure some people are challenged by it. the proposition I'm making in the show is very simple, and I think some people are frustrated by that. I'm not trying to fool anybody. I'm not trying to be smarter than anybody. I'm actually trying to be as simple in my sentiment as possible, which is we have a conversation about a hard thing, and then I invite you to get up and dance with me and dance with each other. But you're also welcome to sit and have a drink. I mean, it's the Fox Cafe. You've been to the Fox, I imagine?
No, but I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely spot, and, you know, the bar there and the DJs, and it's, you know, it's just going to be like a club. So you're also welcome to sit and watch other people. There's other material in the third act besides dancing, but, you know, certainly no one is forced to do anything. But I think the offer is, at least I'm trying to do it from a place of generosity. I'm saying, look, we've had a hard chat about some hard stuff, and now let's do what animals do really well, which is... you know, explode with energy, get rid of adrenaline, literally try to shake off some of the heaviness, not in any way to erase or cancel it, but actually to deepen it so that you're not just going inside your head and leaving and kind of mulling it over in a very intellectual way, that I'm saying, okay, we did that, we had that chat, now let's have a party and try to kind of, it's almost like a veneer for me, it's like a shellac over the experience. I think that getting up together and having a party and dancing kind of solidifies the event that we've just had.
To the hard chat that you have with the audience in the first part of the show, when you're doing that, when you've written that, when you're conceiving of that in the show, what's the message? What do you want people to take away about, say, the state of humanity, if you will?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it is optimistic, though, isn't it? I mean, as well as a memorial?
I'm a very, and I say this in the show as well, like, I'm a very, you know, happy guy. Happy and sad, I guess, like everybody. But I'm, I love life. I think it's beautiful. And I think that even though there is incredible suffering all over the place, here at home and all over the world, I think that I don't think this is new. I don't think I'm, you know, brilliant coming up with a new idea. I just think that we do all continue to try to live, and so there must be something beautiful there. I think that in order to deal with all the hardness of life, humans are very good at finding little moments of ecstatic beauty in order to kind of give themselves the energy to go on and deal with all the hard stuff.
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's a marvelous sentiment. I mean, it's a necessary one, and it's unfortunate that it has to be something that we need to be reminded of in our culture and our society, whether it's, you know, on your side of Canada or mine.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's very, when I was coming up with the show and starting to write it, and that line came out, or that thought came out, and I thought, oh yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's pretty simple. It's almost too obvious. Mm-hmm. I think that it works, and I think that it's right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not arrogant enough to think that, you know, everyone will love the show. Maybe people won't, but I think they will have a good time if they come and sit and listen and participate, because the proposal is so simple. It's such a simple and, I think, to me, obvious proposal.
When people ask you what you do, do you tell them that you're an actor, or do you tell them that you're a musician or a singer first?
I usually say artist or performer, but like I said at the beginning, it doesn't really matter to me what people call me. I work primarily in theater. I work with a company called Zupa Theater in Halifax, and I have this company that's with some other friends, Accidental Mechanics Group. And, you know, I do lots of different things, and... I suppose it depends on who I'm talking to as well.
Yeah, because I've seen the music video that you did, Dig Into the Dirt, is that, or Dust?
Right.
I can't read my writing.
Yeah, Dig Into the Dirt, that's it.
Yeah, that's you sing very well, and my understanding is that you did I Am My Own Wife recently, is that right?
I just did it in Halifax a few months ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, this career that you have now, is this what you always wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, I knew from a very young age that I wanted to perform. Certainly, the shape that it's taken has evolved over the years. That's been informed by the people I've worked with and the places I've been and seen, and, you know, the artists that I've been lucky enough to meet. from all around the world. But yeah, in a way, I kind of always knew that I'd be a performer, and I guess in a way that I always have been.
And do you find that you're able to fulfill the necessary things you need to make a living and then do the artistic part, the output, say?
Yeah, I for the most part, am a full-time working artist. Lots of challenges that go along with that, obviously, but I spend the majority of my time making performances and very little of my time at other jobs. Now, that's not always going to be the case, I'm sure, but I have been lucky over the last decade or so that's what I do with most of my time. And I love it. So even though I'm not rich, I don't think I would really want to do anything else.
Yeah. Stuart, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. And I saw the trailer for this piece, and it's, as I said in the course of our conversation just now, it's a necessary message, regardless of whatever community one belongs to. And good for you for doing it. Safe travels and break a leg here later this month.
Thanks so much. Nice to chat with you.
Pushfestival.ca for tickets. The show is called Let's Not Beat Each Other to Death. It's at the Fox Cabaret, Thursday, the 21st of January, here in Vancouver. Stuart Laguerre joined me on the line from Sydney, Australia. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plantov.